I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is another episode of Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns by playing calls we get at 619 Who Them. We got a lot of them this week, don't we?
We sure do.
You know, I opened by just going right into that because I don't know how to actually, I didn't have like a good starter comment. So I was like, I'm just going to do the actual.
But luckily,
info that I sometimes skip.
The comments, we have plenty of them. So we don't even need to do this because we literally have an entire section of comments that are waiting for us.
There's nothing to just say? We can't say anything?
No, we said it. We said it all. I just want to get into it. I feel like there's so much here.
I'm looking around like, is there any,
I know,
is there a topic?
Your desperation for banter is
I've got a coffee.
Apparent.
It's good.
Oh, I don't want to hear about your coffee.
I reached the new point. Like, I don't even go to the... Okay, fine. I won't even talk about it.
No,
I won't talk about it.
I don't want to hear about it.
I won't talk about it.
This performative banter, I don't want it.
Okay, here comes champagne.
Hi, I had to pause the podcast and call you to tell you that the champagne cork also hit my cousin in the eye, and it split the black part in half. It happens. It's real. This is why I've never opened a champagne bottle and never will. There's always someone around to open a champagne bottle for you. PSA. Crunch, crunch.
Whoa, this is a thing.
When you Google champagne cork eye injury, but then you do like minus Love Island, minus whatever the people to like and change the stuff so you don't just get inundated with the recent news about champagne cork eye injuries.
Yeah.
The most highly cited story that comes up is from 2012, and it's on the American Academy of Ophthalmology, the AAO.org.
Sure, I'm sure they're very concerned about this.
They're so concerned. They released a press release in December of 2012 that said ophthalmologists warn flying champagne corks cause serious blinding eye injuries each year.
Oh my God. How many?
Each year.
Was there a statistic?
It didn't. I read through it really quickly and I didn't see a number. I mean, it just says every year. Oh my God. Champagne bottles contain pressure as high as 90 pounds per square inch, more
You're
than
fucked.
The pressure found
yeah.
inside a car tire.
Oh, so, whoa, that's
the pressure
whoa.
Can launch a champagne cork at 50 miles an hour.
Straight into your eyeball.
It's fast enough to shatter glass. Unfortunately, this is also fast enough to permanently damage vision.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Insane. It says, Dr. Monica...
What?
Dr. Monica L. Monica, an ophthalmologist
no.
and spokesperson for the American Academy of Ophthalmologists,
She's
said,
not Monica L. Monica.
Dr. Monica L. Monica.
Oh, God.
That sounds like a fake Dr. Name and soap dish. It's like Monica DeMonico. I think her name is Monica DeMonico. Anyway.
I'm Dr. Monica DeMonico, the neurosurgeon assigned to this case.
When a champagne cork flies, you really have no time to react and protect your delicate eyes.
You don't.
Uncontrolled champagne corks can lead to painful eye injuries and devastating vision loss. We don't want anyone ringing in the new year in an ophthalmologist's surgery table.
Do you think, like, New Year's Eve is, like, an ophthalmologist's worst nightmare?
Now that I'm thinking about it, yes.
They're all out here being like, you know, they're on call. They're all just waiting around, waiting for the phone to ring. It's like, another one, another one, another one.
Or they're at parties, like, screaming at everyone, point it up, point it up, put a towel.
Above the waist, above the waist.
And they're like, oh, is that Monica L. Monica? She's so annoying on New Year's.
It's Dr. Monica L. Monica, you disrespectful twat.
And you can call her Dr. Monica, and she won't know if you're being informal or formal.
That literally has something that literally relates to the next call, one of the calls on our list. You should just play it right after this.
Dr. Monica. Excuse me. Dr. Monica Monica.
No.
Hey, guys. So I wanted to just listen to the podcast from Friday, and I had to pause and stop because as your the official Trading Spaces correspondent, I wanted to just offer a little bit more insight. And again, you're never, ever, ever going to play this, but you just need to know that the host, Paige Davis, her name is actually Mindy Davis. But then in like 2006 or so, there was actually a Trading Spaces wedding special where our very own Mindy Paige Davis got married to like a Broadway singer, and his last name was Paige. So she could have been known legally, I guess, as Mindy Paige Paige, or potentially Paige Paige, but she just left that last name off and continued as Paige Davis. But according to her memoir that I actually just bought and am rereading, page by page, she decided it was fine to keep Paige Davis for like television reasons. So anyway, crunch, crunch, and you will never play this, but I just want to let you know because it's important to me. Bye.
It just proves that, like, there's something out there for everyone, meaning, like, this guy knows all this information about Trading Spaces.
He was like, you know, a book that I love, one of my favorite books, Page by Page by Paige Davis. I'm sorry, Page by Page by Paige Davis is a crazy thing to say.
Page by Page by Paige Davis, whose real name is Mindy, who married a guy named Patrick Page, whose name could have been Paige Paige, whose name technically is Paige Paige. So just like Monica Monica, who, by the way, has an acting career on the side of her ophthalmology, which I just Googled. Sorry,
it appears she played Justin Long's mom in the movie Waiting.
And Monica Monica.
Monica
did.
Monica. Dr. Monica L. Monica played Justin L. Long's mom in the movie Waiting, starring Ryan Reynolds, that came out in 2005.
Do you think the L in Monica L. Monica stands for legend? Because it seems like she is honestly the most important person I've ever accidentally Googled on this podcast.
I'm sorry. Full bio on IMDb. As a physician and frequent candidate, Dr. Monica Monica has parlayed her unusual name into a commodity, helped by circumstances not of her own making. The descendant of Italian immigrants, she had ambition to be a doctor and was a high achiever academically in her youth.
Who wrote this? Tulane.
Monica Monica.
Yeah, clearly.
She's clearly an ophthalmologist slash actress slash biographer.
Read the end of the bio. It gets like...
No. In the 2000 general election, Dr. Monica was again a candidate, but did not wage a serious candidacy.
Monica ran for president! Oh my
God. She was overshadowed by white separatist David Duke, and state representative David Vitter. Oh my God. He won. She did not wage a serious candidacy. So then she resumed her practice, but remained an advocate on healthcare issues. She also dabbled in acting. Then Hurricane Katrina destroyed her practice.
Then she lost.
She ran unsuccessfully for Louisiana State Senate.
Then nothing happened. Who knows what happened since then?
Lindsay, did you see her nickname?
No.
Monica Squared.
Fuck. No. Not. Stop. Okay. So Monica Monica, we need to move on. Paige Davis from Trading Spaces. She married this guy named Patrick Page in 2001. His last name is Page. Her first name is Page. She wrote a book called Page by Page. And I just think that that's all incredible information. Am I ever going to read Paige Davis's memoir? No, but I'm so happy that it exists.
I would say don't go crazy, because I feel like if maybe, for example, I bought the paperback for $4.65.
Did you already buy
it? And it just appeared on your doorstep. Maybe you would buy it. Maybe you would read it.
Wait, did you just buy it and send it to me?
I didn't just buy it, but I'm considering it.
No, don't send me a fucking... I'm not going to read Paige Davis's... I'm not going to...
And then if I do the thing where it's like, oh, I don't need this in a hurry, because no one should be using Amazon one-day delivery, by the way. No one should be doing one day.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of It's hard to break people from the Amazon habit, but I think an easy thing is never use same day, never use next day, because it's terror.
In no world do I need Paige Davis's memoir page-by-page next-day delivery, so it's not really relevant to this conversation.
I know that you're not going to quit using Amazon. I'm not...
Who are you talking
I'm not deranged. Yeah. Yes, I'm not deranged. No one's going to quit using Amazon. But don't use same day. Don't use next day. It's crazy. It's a terrible thing. Page by Page, however, is one of those perfect things where you can order it where it's like, yeah, I don't need it for 6 months. Give me a Prime Now credit.
I mean,
you know, like,
I don't need
give me
it
a rental credit.
I mean, I don't need it forever is what
where it's
I'm
like, we'll
to
pay you $10
you
to get Page by Page in December. I'll be like, fine.
We'll pay you.
Ship this, it as slow as possible.
We'll pay you to read it. Okay, let's move on. This is obviously we don't care about this.
Well, remember how on the Tuesday episode, we were kind of low energy and now we're like extremely high energy. I'm sort of reveling in it.
You're like a little bit psycho today. Like there's like a lot of...
Well, I'm sweet but a psycho.
Oh, he's sweet but a psycho. Okay.
We're on the same page.
Move on.
Jesus, God. I know you're never going to listen to this because it's my third call, but again, screaming at my phone. Fucking Rooney Mara is definitely a them in Pittsburgh. I mean, come on. She was named after the Rooney family. If you, like, I don't know what to tell you. Steelers loyalty. Furthermore, she was the English version, like English, the language, not English, like the country, version of, I don't know how you say her name, Lisbeth Undergarter, I don't know what it is, but the girl with the dragon tattoo. I would say, in my world, that was a more iconic role, only because I don't know those other fucking movies you're talking about. So, get it together, Udom. Rooney Mara is definitely a Pittsburgh them and potentially a Swedish them. Is that where that movie's from? And again, TMTM. No, that's not right. What was I going to say? Okay.
Wait. I'm like blown up. First of all, your accent's like, I'm in love.
I'm not even
like,
going to try. I love the Pittsburgh accent so much.
It's so good. Your accent, it's amazing. I didn't know that the Rooneys founded the Steelers and the Maras founded the Giants.
In 2016, we absolutely talked about this.
In 2016.
Easy to forget, though. Gotta say, we definitely did because we talked about how that's like completely wild.
Insane.
And that Rooney and Kate are rich as hell.
And Rooney's real name is Patricia, but she goes by her family name, Rooney Mara. So mm-hmm. she's not only is she like reminding you that she is the Rooney Mara. It's like of the famous Rooney Maras. If you are apparently from Pittsburgh or you care about sports in general, because the Giants.
It's wild
you know.
That her entire name is like
money.
Homage to like how rich her family was.
Yeah, it's like football money.
We must respect the Maras and we must respect the Rooneys.
But the argument that a lot of people made when they called is the one thing that she did that we didn't even mention was girl with the dragon tattoo and that would like make her a them.
I don't think that makes her a them because
they replaced her and then no one even cared.
That movie was such a flop that it didn't even get the other ones. That was supposed to be the introduction of like a big blockbuster new series and it flopped.
But didn't they replace her
with
a different...
Yeah, with Claire Foy.
And then literally no one noticed.
Well, they replaced her, number one, with Claire Foy with a story that wasn't even written by Stieg Larsson. It wasn't even written by the main guy. It was a brand new thing. It was like, well, she has the dragon tattoo. She kicked the hornet's web. She did all this stuff. And they were like, what if she's in a spider's web now? And they were like, fine, it's the same thing.
Because
so they did
because
this.
Because the dragon tattoo didn't do so well.
The dragon tattoo, I do not have time to look up the Box Office Mojo, but it was really hype. It was David Fincher. It was going to be huge. It cost like so much money and it didn't make as much money as they wanted it to make. It wasn't a flop. I shouldn't have said flop, but it wasn't as huge critically and commercially as they wanted it to be. So they didn't make any more. They were going to remake the whole trilogy.
Right. No, obviously it's a sign that they didn't, you can tell if they didn't make any more.
It's really dark.
Yeah.
I really like that movie. I saw it once.
And Trent Reznor
did
the score. Like, it is a score. Fincher film, you know?
Just
I thought it was
so
very
brutal.
Dark too. I didn't love it.
It's
I thought
really messed
it was hard
up.
To watch. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those fucked up things about like, it's about like abuse. It's about like violence. It's like very, very, very dark. It's like has a rape
scene. We're saying we disagree that like this is.
I'm saying we got a lot of calls saying like, you forgot she's dragon tattoo. It's like, so did everyone else.
What?
You know?
But apparently not everyone who called. Okay.
Remember the casting for this? How big a deal it was when they were like, who's going to be a girl with the dragon tattoo?
Yeah, they were like, it's like casting Annie in the musical Annie. They were like, we're going to look throughout the world to find like our girl in the dragon tattoo.
It's like every young white ingenue who is either actually brunette or like can convincingly play brunette was in the running for this.
Everyone can convincingly play brunette.
I feel like, I feel like someone who can't convincingly play brunette. Siobhan in Succession.
Oh. I'm talking about Heigl, who just went brunette and looks insane. So that's actually a good example that I thought of myself. Catherine Heigl, check her Instagram. She went brunette and she's like, I'm brunette for a role. And it's like, what role? Like, recast it. Okay.
So after all the shenanigans that have been going on this week with Jeremy Renner's app, he is shutting it down and made a like faux notes app post on the app about how it has jumped the shark and it's everything that he detests and all this kind of stuff. And that's why he's shutting his app down. And I'm just wondering, does the Jeremy Renner app getting shut down make it more of a who or a them than it was previously?
I think, to answer the final question, tell me if you agree, I think it makes it
themier. Well, first of all, we covered this app weeks ago, months ago, even before it even got any press. We were definitely on the earlier side of this app. Then all of a sudden it got like a little, people were like figuring out that existed, right? Jeremy Renner was on, mm-hmm. is in that, singing that song and that ad for the car. And he's got his Amazon store, which we'll get into in a second. And then he has this app and people were like really into the app. And then when it got too much attention, it got trolled. And then Jeremy was like, I'm not dealing with this trolley app. I'm shutting it down. Mm-hmm. He wrote,
because people were pretending to be Casey Anthony. People were pretending
to
be other people.
It was
not really
great.
Because
the app was not a well-made app. You could just...
The app was like,
you could
was
impersonate
the Wild West.
Jeremy Renner. And then I didn't even realize this, but when every time anyone posted, added you, it looked like it was coming from Jeremy Renner. So like the app like didn't work that well. Like it looked like you were getting tweeted at or within the app from Jeremy.
He just wanted a place for Jeremy Renner fans to connect and have a good time.
I know.
And people ruined it.
So
his goodbye post.
His goodbye post, which is notes app on steroids. It's insane. What?
It's fully like he made it in that what was the
goodbye
in the old Max, like Claris Works. What was like the old, it doesn't matter, read it.
The app has jumped the shark, literally.
He doesn't know what literally means.
Neither do I. Due to clever individuals that were able to manipulate ways to impersonate me and others within the app, I have asked EscapeX, the company that runs this app, to shut it down immediately and refund everyone who has purchased any stars over the past 90 days. What was supposed to be a place for fans to connect with each other has turned into a place that is everything I detest and can't or won't condone. My sincere apologies for this to have not turned out the way it was intended to all the super fans that have supported me with your words or encouragement, amazing art stories, and time shared on the app. A genuine thank you, and I hope to see you on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook.
So this app, because of this,
Four
I realized that this
is
just...
Yeah.
This company, EscapeX, is basically just has this like templatized app that is the same for everyone. Do you know the other people who still have running apps on the App Store?
Who?
I mean, Jeremy Renner is the most famous among them. It's wild. Amber Rose does.
No.
Dita Von Teese does. No. They're the same app. They're identical. Dita Von Teese does.
Yeah.
Prince Royce.
Mm-hmm.
He might be. He's pretty famous. Chris D'Elia, the guy who was in that show,
yeah,
Whitney.
The comedian.
Abigail Ratchford.
Oh, I know that name.
And fitness motivator L.A. Love the Boss.
So like this, but the app though is what kind of caused this was because people,
the app is badly designed.
There was like a issue with verification of identity, and honestly, like this
the
is
app
something
did not
that Facebook kind of has not solved, but that's like what Facebook had to go through too, like a few years ago.
Okay, what I'm saying is EscapeX. What if we make an EscapeX app that's just like for hooligans?
You can barely get the stickers to work.
No, we don't have to do anything.
How are you going to make... Oh, you want to...
The app just... You want to just call EscapeX and be like, give us an app.
We have a Facebook group. That's already like what we have.
I know, but no one can like... But it's not its own bespoke app.
People can't like pay for stars to like get seen by us. I mean, that was the most... Honestly, the most ridiculous thing about this app was that you paid for stars so that your comment could get seen by Jeremy Renner.
By Jeremy Renner.
Like, that was the point. But this is not his only, like, thing that he does that's weird online. He also has this store that everyone keeps sending to us, which, like, is very funny. It's this Amazon store. We haven't talked about it on the podcast, though.
We've talked about Amazon stores in the past.
We have, because Zac Efron
had one. So I think that's why
one.
We were not excited about it, because this is sort of an established thing that a certain tier of celebrity does.
A certain tier. I mean, I don't even know what kind of celebrity does this. It's very strange. It's like, it's just a front page that says the Jeremy Renner store, and it's just got links to like outdoorsy things, like a plaid shirt and like a poison ivy treatment and like roasted almonds. It's just the weirdest.
Roasted almonds.
Such a, to me, it's such a spammy, it's a spammy thing. Very spammy to me, because it reminds me of like how people set up sites that are just, like themed sites to drop ship things from China essentially and then like charge you as a middleman. It feels like that, but on Amazon.
It really does. You know? That's what it is. Yeah. But then he gets like custom, but it's like well photographed, you know?
I guess it
looks almost more official than what it is. Like it's good. It has a good like, there's something about it, like the aesthetic is really nice.
But it's weird.
But then you realize it's really just a curated wish list page or something.
It's just a curated wish list, and you click on more celebrities, and you have like Jessica Alba, Meek Mill, Selena Gomez, Martha Stewart, Post Malone. Like you have like big celebrities, but then you click on their pages, and it literally is just, there's really no like editorial basis for this. Like if you click on Ryan Seacrest, you literally only get a shave lotion polished by Dr. Lancer, and it's just Ryan Seacrest's like face guy.
They must have learned that consumers will click on celebrity, like they must have learned that like that will get a lot of click-through rates, right? You know,
well, some of these are for their products, and then some are just their recommendations, so it's also not standardized.
I love the outdoors. Here's the almonds that I eat when I'm hiking.
Except like
here are the
not.
Boots that I wear when I'm hiking. And then they photographed him at like a national park, like fishing and hiking and looking through a pair of binoculars.
Hi, The Weekly. So I have some little information that might be important to you. I was sitting on my couch as my parents were watching the Spanish TV channel, as is the norm in my household. And I'm just scrolling on my phone, not paying attention to the TV, when I hear something that sounds familiar. I look up from my phone, and sure enough, there is Eva Longoria promoting ácido hialurónico. So, Eva Longoria does not forget about her Latin audience. Ácido hialurónico. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Ácido hialurónico. Es lo máximo para estas líneas.
Está aquí.
Nueva Revitalin con ácido hialurónico puro. Hidrata tan intensamente.
Ácido hialurónico. She does the exact same enunciation in
Good.
Spanish.
That's
it's
amazing.
So great.
That's great. They're probably hialurónico. Like that worked. Hialurónico. I can't do it.
It worked
really
in
well.
English. It'll work in Spanish. Ácido hialurónico. Should I make another gift that says hialurónico? That's fun. I like that she laughs in the commercial because she's like, wow, hyaluronic acid is hard to say in any language.
That's true.
Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use, because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, Who Weekly. We're just wondering, is Denise Richards the most famous Denise? Crunch, crunch.
Probably.
Were you waiting for me to say something?
Yeah, like currently.
Is Denise Richards the most famous Denise? This is a great question. I cannot think of a more famous Denise.
Isn't there a movie where someone's name is Denise? It's like, Denise!
Yeah. But that's not a thing. If you search Denise on Google, you get Denise Richards on the right-hand side. That's like the big pull-up, but that doesn't mean anything.
I really can't think of another famous Denise.
Oh, you know who the most famous Denise is?
Who?
Denise Huxtable.
Who is Denise Huxtable?
On the fucking Denise! Cosby Show, you dumbass.
Lisa Bonet, Denise. That's what I was thinking of. A character screaming Denise. I was thinking of Theo being like, Denise!
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what I was thinking of specifically? The moment whenever Denise makes... When Denise makes Theo the Gordon Gartrell, the like fake designer in the Cosby Show universe.
Uh-huh.
The iconic Cosby Show episode. Uh-huh. And she's like, I can make you the really expensive shirt at home for like $25. And he does it, and she makes the most disgusting shirt. And he's like, Denise! Whatever.
Denise!
It's over, isn't it?
Cosby Show, is it canceled?
This is just Denise. So Denise Richards and Denise Huxtable are the most famous Denises.
They are, you're right, Denise Huxtable.
I just love this call because that's such a good...
It's a thought game.
Yeah, like to recognize that is so smart. It's like, yeah, Denise is the most famous Denise.
But I looked through, I was seeing Google's other suggestions for Denise. Denise Richards, number one. Mm-hmm. Then there were the next order, Denise Austin, Denise Crosby, then Denise Richards' kids. So we're back to Denise Richards again. Then Denise Garcia, Denise Kolb. Denise Crosby, an actor.
Bing Crosby's granddaughter.
Bing Crosby's granddaughter.
Okay.
Really funny.
Sure.
So she like was in a lot of like 80s, 70s movies.
Uh-huh.
Denise Austin, a fitness influencer who like started on YouTube and is now like somehow involved in politics. She's like the special fat fitness advisor to the president. Something dark. I don't know. It's very
weird. That's not great. Don't love that.
No.
She's not doing a good job either.
God, I just had her
name.
Denise
Garcia, Austin. Lonzo Ball's ex. Remember Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo Ball, yes. Lonzo Ball's ex. And then this other Denise. And I was like, oh, who's this? Denise Kolb. And
dead
it's just
woman,
a recent
cold
story.
Case. Oh, Bobby.
She was murdered brutally in like the 80s or 90s. And they just found the murderer like this week.
Okay, so.
They just found him.
Those are all the Denises. You pick
Denise
which
Austin.
One you is
She's
the darkest.
A member of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports.
Question for you. Do you think that, and I hate that, do you think that Denise Richards is more famous because she's like one of the only Denises?
Yeah. I mean, I could see an argument for them being like, you know, a very typical Hollywood story. Like, you got to change your name. There are too many like Jennifers. There are too many whatevers.
Yeah.
I think it helps. But she also has she became famous in the, you know, the mid 90s. Her look was a look in the mid 90s, you know,
Denise
like
Richards.
she matched a look that people were into at that time.
I mean, she was like the number one heartthrobby like woman for like a very long time.
She was like peak Maxim girl,
yeah,
you know.
She was
like Maxim.
When Wild Things came out, it was like she was
Wild
number
Things.
One. Yeah. What did
yes.
I say? Wild Things.
No, well, she was in Wild Things.
Yeah.
She was all Bond girl.
She was Charlie
she's
Sheen's
famous.
Ex. She's definitely
I guess
famous.
She's the most famous Denise. Denise Richards, Denise Huxtable.
And that's
okay.
It.
I just heard a headline that Garcelle Bouvet is joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills as the first Black cast member. And who is that?
Who is that? Garcelle Bouvet, first Black cast member of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which has been on for a long time, never had a Black cast member. She's here, baby. She's most famous for being the like co-lead on Jamie Foxx's show. She was his wife or girlfriend, which was on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on NYPD Blue. She was married to some like, again, this is just top level Wikipedia stuff, right? Like she was married to some like big Hollywood producer, then they divorced. Then she married this talent agent. This is where the story gets interesting. This is like—
What's his name? Mike Nillen?
Mike Nillen or Nylon? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
So they get married, her second husband, and he is like a Hollywood talent agent, so presumably really rich. So she's rich, he's rich. They're like kind of a power couple in Hollywood. And I guess when she found out that he was cheating on her, there was this huge scandal in like 2007, 2009, Anyway, she emailed his coworkers, and the subject line was Tiger Woods / Jesse James / Mike Nillen. And then she wrote, what did they have in common in the body? I found out today that my husband of almost 9 years has been having an affair for 5 years with some slut in Chicago.
What?
I am devastated and I have been duped. Our boys don't deserve this. She sent this to all of his coworkers.
All of them?
And then immediately, enough people got it that one of them sent it to Page Six immediately. Right?
I mean.
So they send the letter to Page Six immediately. It goes, it becomes like a tabloid sensation, even though, again, they're not super famous, but they're famous enough for this behavior to be like a big deal. And apparently like that like ruined her life for a little bit because she got all this press and she was like, wow, I shouldn't have sent that email. This was a nightmare. She like sank into this like depression, I think, because of it. And she was like, I shouldn't have done this to my kids. God, I didn't mean to bring attention to my kids because they were pretty young. But she talked about it on OWN later. I'll play a clip here.
And when I actually looked and realized that it had been leaked, I was sobbing. It was another part of the devastation, honestly. I went to therapy, I got a life coach, I did all the things that they say you should do because I didn't want my adult drama to affect my kids.
And since then, she's just been like one of those actors who's just steadily acting in little things. And now I think her kids are grown enough that she's like, okay, I can be on Real Housewives, you know?
That's so crazy.
It's a good, I mean, it's as good a story as like whoever, Lisa Rinna.
No, no, it's a great story. Thing? It's enough. Also just funny. So like a
hunky, powerful husbands.
A lot of enough. The women on Housewives are like divorced now. Like they have since been divorced. So now there's no any requirement for them to actually be housewives. Like housewives implies that you are married, but now that's like doesn't matter anymore. So to join the show when you're like already divorced, like that's just a normal thing. So
it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, on Beverly Hills, more of them are married than usual. Like they actually, a lot of them do have husbands, but on New York, none of them are married. So it's interesting. They're bringing in like a single sexy woman, you know.
She's going to be in the new Coming to America sequel because she was in the first one.
That's
as
cool.
A really in a really small role.
So that I think means she's actually kind of big for the show. Like she as an actress.
Yeah, she's going to be promoting stuff. Like she's going to be in real stuff.
Yeah. I wonder who she's friends with. They usually only bring people in who are like friends with the
cast.
Oh,
good point.
But I couldn't find anything if she was friends with, because they're bringing in another woman too, but it's because she's Lisa Rinna's like best friends or like friends with her. So like it's unclear who this woman's connection is.
I wonder what that cast, like, I'm sure a lot of, like you said, a lot of the casting process is just like friends, recommendations.
It is. They like,
you know,
try out people
but
who like come
when
by.
When it's not.
Yeah.
Like if she's not friends with anyone, like I wonder how many people pitch them or how many people they approach who say no, you know?
I mean,
it'd be
a lot.
Fascinating to get like,
I think Denise Richards was approached quite a few times and she said no.
Well,
and
she said she was.
Said yes. Yeah.
I don't think she admitted that until she was cast.
No.
Because I feel like they don't say that until it happens.
No.
But I would love like an insider's peek into like every single person they've reached out to and who said no.
I mean, I'm sure they've reached out to so many women. It's like an incredible bucket. Like there are so many options, I think, for
like
this.
Sharon Stone.
Well, because you have like the perfect casting is like an actual like kind of celebutante housewife, but then they really want actual celebrities, so they're going
like
after the Rinnas.
Like you got a Michelle Pfeiffer, you know?
Oh, I mean, that would just be insane. That would be
I feel like that's like a dream, a Michelle Pfeiffer who like acts a little but not enough to take away her time,
but she's almost too big,
has
but
a famous
then
husband.
They got Denise Richards and it was like, oh well, is Michelle Pfeiffer too big? Like in 5 years maybe not, you know.
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer would have been good 5 years ago, but now she's in the Pfeiffer Renaissance.
Right, that's true. Pfeiffer-naissance.
The Pfeiffer-naissance.
The Pfeiffer-naissance.
The Pfeiffer-naissance. this is from the Pfeiffer-naissance period. Have you seen the new Maleficent posters? They're fucking wild.
I mean, I really...
It's called, like, Maleficent, like, the Daughter of the Darkness.
I, like, kind of ignore that movie. I just, like, pretend it doesn't exist. Because I don't care about...
Because the first one made, like, $8 billion, you know?
I know, but I just
oh, it's called
don't care about
Maleficent,
it.
Mistress of Evil.
Like, do you
but
care
all have...
about this movie?
Oh, not at all. Okay. I didn't even see the first one. I'll never see the first one.
Yeah.
But they all have character posters that like reveal their characters, but the characters don't mean anything to me because I don't know the story. But it's like Michelle Pfeiffer as Queen Ingrith.
And you're like, who's that? Who's that? Like Queen Ingrith.
Ingrith. And then there's Elle Fanning as Princess Aurora.
Don't they do this for like every movie? This is like why Julia Stiles' face is like photoshopped onto a poster of her alongside the Hustlers girls in a photo that like looks like she does not know is being taken of her.
Oh my God, that photo is so good.
It's someone, so good. It looks like she's sneezing.
Sent me someone's Instagram story where it's like Lizzo full glam, J-Lo full glam, like in character also, Constance Wu full glam and in then, character, even Lily Reinhart. And then it's like, looks like a Julia Stiles was going into an office building and they took her photo without telling her to give her the visitor badge.
It looks like she's taking money out at a bank and they have like the footage from the cameras.
It looks like she just pressed like withdrawal $80.
Yeah, and they have the footage from like the ATM camera, like the bank cameras, like a picture of her. She's like, she's robbing.
She pushes 80 and she's like, please have enough in there. Please have enough
in there.
My it's like
God,
that face.
Stop.
No, I'm not saying she definitely has the money. I'm just saying, but you know that feeling whenever you go to an ATM and you're like, is there enough? And then you're like, I hope. And then you hear the noise and you're like, thank God. She just heard the noise. Where it's like,
right. Yeah. She just looks like has a normal, she's not looking. It looks like they recreated her face from a bunch of like sketches. It kind of actually looks like she's been missing and they're like, this is what she'll look like in 50 years. And she's like a baby.
It looks like a rendering, but it also looks like a visitor badge / ATM photo.
I just
want to
say, if Constance Wu like was too forth, like was too aggressive about her billing, Julia Stiles was not aggressive enough about her billing, etc.
Yeah, it was very like, Julia Stiles, ask for what you want.
Like ask for literally a photo of you to be taken officially for the poster, let alone billing. Anyways,
it's like when people ask us for a photo for like, it's like, oh, they some company like will like, or like some website will like write about the podcast and they'll be like, do you have a photo, a headshot of the two of you? And we're like, nope. And if they're ever like, no, we actually need something, like you have to send us something for like when we did that podcast festival, we like send them the worst photos because they're the only ones that exist. That's what Julia Stiles sent them.
Yeah,
she's like, I have this one. I have one of
it
me
was taken
and Save
of
the
me
Last
in a
Dance.
Bank. But it's also like Julia Stiles has been photographed so many times. She's been on magazine covers. She's been like, this is, it's wild.
She's
to
a
me.
Famous person.
Yeah, like why? Whatever. Get a better photo of her. Don't disrespect her. She's the journalist.
One of you photographers, you need to reach out to Julia Stiles and give her new headshots because she needs one.
Okay, we need to move on.
Hey, does Harrison Ford know who Timothée Chalamet is? Okay, bye.
Does Harrison Ford know who Timothée Chalamet is?
No.
You really say no that quickly with no
thought?
I think
Harrison Ford does not give a shit about anything.
Really?
Except like the stuff that he is directly participating in, and even that he's only had.
Like,
even
question:
that,
Harrison...
he probably didn't even read the other pages in the new Star Wars script that he like
no,
dies
100%
in. You know,
he definitely did.
He doesn't even. He's a pilot, and he doesn't even know how to land. You know, like he doesn't know everything.
He doesn't know how to
Remember
land
when he crashed.
He doesn't know
like,
how to
he doesn't,
land.
He's not an expert even in his main fields.
Wait, so question: the Oscars that Timothée was like the most celebrated at, which I guess were the last ones, the like. Mm-hmm. The Oscars in which
where it was like maybe he'll
call
win.
Me by
like,
your name was Harrison Ford at those Oscars? Probably not though. He's
Harrison
only
Ford is one of those people though who can go whenever he wants. And
but I guess that's my question. It's like, was he at the Oscars in which Timothée was like lauded? And the only other events that like he would be at where Timothée was lauded would be like any other film festival that he had to go to, like. Through contract, but I don't even think he's done that. I don't think he even does that recent, like at all. He just stays at home with Callista.
No, he wasn't at those Oscars.
He's just like, Callista, get me a cup of coffee or whatever, you know, at home.
Callista, get me a cup of coffee. The last.
What do you think
Oscars
their dynamic is like? You think it's not Callista, get me a cup of coffee? You're crazy.
You're probably
she
right.
She probably
I
says no,
back.
But he definitely asks. Yes, I'm not trying to be sexist.
She says no.
She says
she
no,
says
Harrison,
no.
Get yourself a but fucking Dunkin' Donuts.
It's their bit.
Callista.
He gets up to go get the coffee.
Callista,
get me a cup of coffee. And she goes, no, dear. And then he gets it himself. And they've been doing that for like 20
right,
years.
Like Harrison Ford shuffles around his estate. Like he's just like this old guy, you know?
Callista, I dropped my earring in the living room.
Just looking for his earring.
It's like stuck in the carpet.
Callista, where's my earring?
Wear shoes in the living room. This
Calista's
terrible
like,
Harrison Ford impersonation.
You own 45 earrings. You'll just need to get a new one.
Because he keeps dropping them.
He keeps dropping them into the carpet. They're lost.
And they're all lost. Someone's, meanwhile, the like housekeeper comes and starts vacuuming, and it's like, she's like, Mr. Ford, honestly, every time she runs the Dyson
she's
over,
like,
it's like,
there's like 25 Harrison Ford earrings.
60 diamond earrings get stuck in there. She dumps them into a mug and is like, I put it on your nightstand, your mug of earrings. There's nothing funnier than that noise.
One for every day of the year. Just a different, you know, that a million Harrison Ford earrings. Yes.
You know, that happened to my mom.
What?
Like my mom, like my parents got married in the 70s. My dad, her little diamond ring that he gave her for the wedding ring.
Got stuck in the Dyson.
It popped out of the socket soon after they got married. And it was a little thing, but it was insured. But she was like devastated because it popped out of the thing. And so they used the insurance money and they bought another one, but it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one that she still has on her finger. But then like literally years later, she was vacuuming.
It went into the vacuum?
And she heard, or maybe she saw it, but it was literally years later. It was like under some thing in the dining room.
No.
And she found it and she was like, oh, I was devastated. And they like had to they had to give it up because they had already taken the money for it.
Why did they have to give it up? Who would know?
But my parents would not do that.
Your
my mom
parents?
Would be like, was like, oh, I had to call the insurance company and tell them we found it and we had to like surrender
I'm
it
sorry,
or something.
Years later, she did. That years is like such law-abiding citizen. Like that is insane. I would never.
That's my parents. And she still talks about, well, she'll be like, oh, I was devastated to have to give that up or something.
She could have kept like, it.
No one needs to know. Okay.
Wow, that is like a sad story. She
isn't that
kept,
sad?
She could have kept that. No one would have known.
Yeah. Because it was the one that was actually at the wedding. Yeah. Okay. I love to do an ad for a podcast hosted by a who we have literally talked about on the show.
Love that. I love that. I absolutely love that. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. We're going to talk about a new podcast called Jocular, hosted by none other than ER Fightmaster, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, they're best friends, and they're obsessed with women's sports. Like a lot of you, I'm sure. They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women forward in the world of sports. And in every episode, they're going to cover the latest games, they're going to debate pressing issues, and they're going to review how they're really horny for basically everyone in the game. You love to see it. Just be honest about it.
You literally love to see it. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping.
So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts right now. Okay, we're going to play a game of who, them. We don't have to do all of these.
No, just do
let's
some.
Just do it until, let's just do it until we're tired.
Okay.
And let's start with, God, I love this.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby, it's Morgan from LA. Sorry, I've been talking slow. I'm a little stoned. I don't think you'll play this. But long time, first time. I keep seeing previews on Bravo for a Kelly Clarkson talk show, it looks like. It's called The Kelly Clarkson Show coming out. And it looks really hilly. So what can you guys tell me about this? Because I feel like she's a them, so I'm kind of confused. All right, thank you. I hope that you play this. I don't think you will, but I really, really want to know. I'm too lazy to find out. Okay, thank you. Crunch, crunch.
She sounds like our Tuesday episode.
That's true. Wow, very, very on brand.
She's on like 0.5 speed.
This commercial I keep hearing, like, every time I turn on the television.
It's the Kelly Clarkson Show.
Na, na, na. Na, na, na.
The Kelly Clarkson Show!
The Kelly, the Kelly Clarkson Show. Wiki, wiki.
Too much? Little much?
The Kelly Clarkson Show! Show! Show!
That's it. There's always been a Kelly Clarkson Show. Now it's on TV.
The Kelly Clarkson Show!
The Kelly Clarkson Show.
There's always
That's
been a Kelly
funny.
Clarkson show. Now it's on TV.
That's funny. She's genuinely good-natured And I also feel like her tour, I always see her perform covers, which really says something about her to me. Like, she likes other people. She likes other people's music. She likes other people's. She's right.
That's a very interesting observation. Wow. I like that.
So just like, that's true. The fact that how do you even like word it?
Like, it's like there's less of of course she's a famous person. She's an egotist, but like, and also just because of her story.
Well, you have to be an egotist to like want to do a talk show, right? Like exactly. To even want to do that. But I feel like she is a fan. Like she's fans of other people. She genuinely enjoys, like, she's the kind of person, like, she goes to a party, enjoys being there, which is like, I don't think any celebrity enjoys, you know, at this point.
And part of Kelly Clarkson's brand is that it doesn't matter how famous she ever gets, so she's still on top of the world, but like, she'll always sort of be an outsider still, you know?
You think so?
Because of American Idol.
Yeah.
Because of her, like, small town Texas girl. Right. Like, she truly came from nothing. I think because of that.
But there's so many pieces here.
Even though she's still super famous and she's still been like a product of the major label system,
here's my other thing. Don't forget, she's Reba's niece. Reba, who turned her music career into a TV show and maybe a talk show along the way, I forget. But like, who definitely like could do a talk show and would be that type of person.
She's Reba's daughter-in-law. I wanted to get that right.
Daughter-in-law. Oh, so she's Reba's son's... wife.
Reba's stepson's wife.
Okay, well, whatever.
See, there's... Yeah. But you get it.
He's, like, a famous agent. He was her agent, I think, for a long time.
I just didn't want to suggest that, like, Reba had any role in making her a famous
person. No, I just more meant, like, it makes sense to me that Kelly Clarkson would find herself having a talk show, like, into this world. Is it hooey? Daytime TV is a little hooey by nature, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's hooey until suddenly you're them, you know, like it's
into your Ellen.
There's like two thems, you know, like Ellen, that's it. It's like Ellen,
Whoopi on the View. Like, that's it.
Even Wendy's hooey.
Yeah.
It's Kelly Ripa, but
there's Kelly something Ripa's about hooey. There's something about like the daytime lights on a talk show that is hooey to me, even though it's fucked up because daytime TV is a woman's thing and late night TV is like more of a men's
play. The man's world.
Right, like that's like what's fucked up, and they're all like super themmy in a way because we're used to watch, like, not a lot of people. I mean, that's actually not true. A lot of people watch daytime TV.
More people watch daytime than nighttime, I think.
So it's cool that Kelly Clarkson's getting in here. I mean, part of me,
let me tell you, ad rates are probably going to be more for daytime TV than they are for nighttime TV. You know what I mean?
That's true. When? Like now, I think, or that in general? She's,
but I'm looking at like, no, generally. Yeah. I'm thinking about like Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray's talk show, I think, is a pretty close equivalent here, where it's like coming from a completely different industry and then just relying on like their likability exclusively.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what happened to Ellen, but Ellen's parlay from comedian to talk shows makes sense, and it's like there's a precedent for it. There really isn't as big of a precedent for these other things. Comedian.
Well, what's weird about it to me is that it's so much work that you wouldn't... I'm surprised that she wants to take on that much work. And I'm always surprised, like, it's like somebody who's a singer who goes on tour, and that's a lot of work, but that's only seasonal, kind of. Then it's like, oh, I want to do a talk show. That's so much work.
It's a lot of work, but it's also good hours. So, like, you can be...
Yeah.
You go to work, and then you go home.
Right. Right,
you know what I mean? and you can bank episodes.
Like, I like Kelly Clarkson. I want her to succeed.
She probably is only going to work Monday through Thursday because they record the Friday episodes on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably really good fucking hours, especially if you like have a reason to be at home for like because you're a family.
So Kelly Clarkson is a them, but the Kelly Clarkson show until further diagnosis is kind
absolutely
of a who.
A who.
Yeah.
And it all depends on the guests they're going to get. But I think like
her
if
first
anyone's...
guest was The Rock.
Oh, it's already premiered?
No, it's coming out soon. But there was this, they gave it this news bump because I guess her first guest was Kevin Hart, who got in a car accident recently. He's fine. But The Rock left his honeymoon to come be on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Wow, a true baller.
Right.
The
press for everyone.
I think that if any of, I'm trying to think of like, Bethany was bound to fail. Kris Jenner show was bound to fail.
That was the worst show.
This, I think, if anyone's going to do it, it's her.
And if anyone.
You know what I mean? When I found out that she was hosting a show, I wasn't like, that'll be canceled soon. I was like, oh, this could work out.
Well, a lot of like people who've gone into daytime TV usually join the panel. Like they join a panel. There's plenty of panels join. So like she didn't really make sense to join any panel. She wouldn't join The View, obviously. She wouldn't join like The Chew. She wouldn't join like The Talk or whatever. It makes sense for her to have her own show. And I think if a lot of people are like, oh, she'll be the James Corden of daytime, which does make sense because she's musical. And like if they integrate that into like the show, which they definitely will, it could be a fun show to watch. And there could be a lot of clips from it on YouTube that do really well because of that. Yep. Well, we've talked
the
so
all
long
important,
about this.
The all important clip ability.
Truly, though. When do you ever see a clip from like daytime TV aside from like some Wendy's, the occasional View? Like that shit does not go anywhere.
Yeah. Should we move on?
Please.
Aaron Eckhart, who are them? Crunch, crunch.
One, two, three.
Who? But like,
he didn't happen. Not going to happen. They try to make him happen and it didn't work.
He's not going to happen. Thank you for smoking. Am I right? Remember that movie? Good movie.
Good guy. I mean, I like Aaron Eckhart, but like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Good guy. Yeah. You're friends with him.
Like, no problem with Aaron Eckhart.
The next
movie I never saw that Aaron Eckhart's in.
These are different.
Love Happens. I just think the poster is so funny and the name's so funny, but I never saw
What's
it.
Love Happens?
The rom-drom with him and Jennifer Aniston. It's literally just called Love Happens.
I don't think I ever saw it either, but I keep seeing it on Amazon. Maybe I'll watch it.
Next up.
Maura Tierney. Who or them?
One, two, three.
Who?
I was going to say them, but you're right. It's a who.
Well, I mean, I watched The Affair. You don't even watch The Affair and you're like, love Maura Tierney. Can I just say?
I do. I love Maura Tierney.
Google Voice translated her name in the transcript to like Maurice or something. Like they didn't get it. Google Voice did not
know
who Maura Tierney was. I don't know. This is a tough one because
she's a
like
who?
Prestige
she's just like,
character actor.
She's just not never stopped acting.
Yeah.
She's prestige. Like she's yeah. just never, ever
No
stopped.
One, and also no one frowns like Maura Tierney. The Affair, no. The entirety of The Affair is Maura Tierney looking miserable. Love that
Maura
show.
Maura Tierney is very like, there's like a Liv Tyler energy. There's like a, you get the feeling that Maura Tierney's always looking for like the smoking section, you know, like I need to go outside and
you're
have a
so
smoke.
Right.
You know, I love
Maura
that
Tierney
about
sees
an
everyone
actor.
Vaping and goes, ugh, like, it's like no one has a cigarette anymore in this fucking town.
Yeah. Someone next to her, like a younger person, is like, one hit of my jewel. She's like, what am I, 12?
Yeah. Maura Tierney's offering people $10 for a cigarette to bum oh one.
Abso-fucking-lutely. There are
true.
So many smokers in the streets of New York who Maura Tierney has given a full 22
a full
for
20.
One Marlboro
Are you kidding?
Rip.
She doesn't carry them. She just smokes them all the time when she pays for each cigarette. Okay, please. Next call, please.
God, Maura Tierney. I mean, I don't even know if she's a smoker. She just has that energy.
She just
I love
has
it.
The energy. She has the energy. She probably quit
right,
10 years
in,
ago.
She was Timmy Chalamet's mom in Beautiful Boy. Right. That's why I brought up Timmy. Yeah, okay.
She was probably miserable in that, too.
Oh my God. Oh, right. And she had cancer. She had breast cancer. And she was like, fuck you, tumor. And then the tumor was like, ah.
Yeah,
and
then
the tumor
the
ran
affair,
away.
Like, wrote that into the show. And she was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Like, oncologists were like, I don't know. It's unprecedented. But like, we have a new treatment where Maura Tierney just like yells at a tumor. And the tumor is like, I cannot be here anymore.
I mean,
that's the new cure. That's like the cure for cancer. You get Maura Tierney into your hospital bed. And then she starts yelling. She like scolds the tumor.
Okay, please.
You don't belong here.
Please.
You don't belong here.
I'm begging
you don't belong
you to move
here.
On.
Next. I'm sorry.
Jennifer Jason Lee. Who are them? Crunch, crunch.
One, two, three, them. And I'm going to say just barely.
I'm going to say like who or whatever. Like, but
you're
like,
gonna say who? I feel like there's residual themness from like
there
the
80s. There is. I know. I feel like she's like
and that
generational.
Name is just
she's,
so.
She's got a beautiful name and she's so
beautiful
good
name.
In everything she does. I really love her.
I
think
love
she's so
Jennifer
good. But I will say it's like, she's like a generational
her voice,
them.
Her
she's
look.
Like, yeah. She's so good in, what's the fucking movie, Quentin Tarantino, that no one saw because it was too long? The
Hateful
last
Eight.
One. She's so good in that.
I never saw it because I was like, why
she's
would I see this?
Incredible in that. Like, she is that movie.
She's incredible in Annihilation.
Yeah, she really is. Oh, she's
incredible.
Annihilation!
She's incredible in Synecdoche, New York. She's incredible in Margo at the Wedding. Margo at the fucking Wedding. I'm looking through her IMDb. I haven't seen a lot of In the Cut. In the Cut.
What's the latest
How good
one
is In the Cut? Everyone dumps on In the Cut, and now it's having like the resurgence. People finally respect In the Cut.
Wait, what's the most recent movie that she's done that just came out?
Oh, White Boy Rick.
No.
And Annihilation.
No. That's it?
Yeah. She was in she was in Good Time, which I still haven't
seen.
That's what
I just,
sorry.
That's it. That's what I was talking about. She's in Good Time.
That was 2017.
Remember I just told you that I saw Good Time? It's great.
You liked it?
Loved it.
Gotta see it.
She's good in it too.
I don't know why I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of needs a cigarette energy. Ugh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason
Leigh. Major needs a cigarette energy.
God, I love it. It's honestly what I'm looking for in an actor.
Maura Tierney and Jennifer Jason Leigh are like on the same, like in the same whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, they're like when they're in the same room, like they're like their energies match, and you get that sort of like whenever you rub your finger around a wine glass, when they're next to each other, you're like, ooh, because there's like some sort of matchy energy, you know?
No, next I don't up. Know.
You know what happened? You know how that happens, Lindsay?
No,
how that happens? When two iconic queer icon actresses are in the same room together? Okay.
Hey, Who Weekly, long time. So I was looking up Sandra Lee, the semi-homemade fame on Google, and whenever I typed in Sandra Lee, now Dr. Pimple Popper shows up first instead of her. So just my question is Sandra Lee the TV chef now a who? Was she ever a them? And is Dr. Pimple Popper a them? Sorry, it's a lot of questions. Women don't belong in balloons.
Women don't belong in balloons.
This
That's
is like a depressing.
This
is like a depressing.
We got a few of those. Okay, let's start with Sandra Lee of the iconic Kwanzaa cake and Hanukkah cake fame.
The show or her?
Her.
Okay.
Sandra Lee, chef show.
Yeah.
Sandra Lee. 1, 2, 3.
Them, I think, because she has enough stuff going on. Cuomo. The show.
Sandra
cooking.
Lee Pimple Popper. Let's do Sandra Lee Pimple Popper.
Wait, who's Sandra Lee Pimple Popper?
You know Dr. Pimple Popper?
But her name isn't Sandra Lee.
Her name is Sandra Lee.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. And so now let's say this Sandra Lee. And I think I have a thing. 1, 2, 3. Who?
She's
but
who-y.
Dr. Pimple Popper, I would call a them.
But Sandra Lee, her real name, who the hell is that?
I did not know her name was Sandra Lee. And I don't even watch the show,
but I think Dr. Pimple Popper is Themmy. Yeah, because
that show is Themmy.
But not that necessarily that show, but just like her, like she was on Instagram first.
The concept of Dr. Pimple Popper, Themmy. Huge. Yeah. Themmy. Dr. Pimple Popper. But sure. I think Sandra Lee is still number one Sandra Lee.
Yeah.
They never got married, did they? She's not like Sandra Lee Cuomo. She's just Sandra Lee.
I have no idea.
She never got married to him.
I have no idea.
Okay, we're done. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, please. We love it. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. Call us at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. And you can also buy merch at whoweekly.us. We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. I'm going to go have a cigarette with Maura Tierney outside. Goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
To be famous.
I saw Chappaquiddick alone using my movie pass.